This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
But I thought it was a terrible situation. I studied it closely. I'm going to get some reports done today, very strong reports, and we'll have a little more to say about it tomorrow. But certainly it was very, to me, it was very disturbing.
No matter what the different points of view are, ours of his death, we must all agree to one fact. The fact that he was killed by the Atlanta Police Department. The fact that someone's cousin, brother, uncle, nephew, father, companion, and friend is no longer in this world. How many more protests will it take to ensure that the next victim isn't your cousin, your brother, your uncle, your nephew, your friend, or your companion, so that we can finally end the suffering of police excessive force?
And that's how we start off this week. Rashard Brooks died of two gunshot wounds to his back. His death ruled a homicide. A lot has happened in Atlanta. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. And here we go. The president saying that he would have more to say about it, but that it was very disturbing, highly disturbing. Rashard Brooks fell asleep, was intoxicated at a Wendy's, ended up dead as a result of it. And there were some strange things that happened in between. And, of course, the body cam can be viewed where they wake him up. Somebody calls. They say he's asleep. He grabs. It seems peaceful for 20 minutes or so. It's fine. He grabs the taser gun of one of the police officers, starts to run, and then he was shot twice in the back and died of those wounds. So he was drunk at a Wendy's. I mean, that's basically it. Had too much to drink, was trying to get himself right, I'm assuming, and did that grub thing that people do, get jump in a drive-through, and wow. So the taser, grabbing the taser, and then he was fired at, and then that was it. After that happened, of course, Atlanta exploded. As I said, the Wendy's was burned down. In fact, they got a picture, the police, circulating of someone they believe to be the suspect, and it looks like a white older woman, middle-aged woman, I guess, but I don't know that for sure, just in looking at the shots, that's what it looks like. So how does this happen? You heard his now widow talking about the fact that he's gone. He's no longer here. Father of four had just celebrated his daughter's birthday hours before he was shot. So there are a lot of things happening in Georgia, in other parts of the country, and this now is a new one of them. So not as cut and dried as what we saw, the excessive use of force, as in the case of George Floyd, the black man who died May 25th, when a Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck for 9 minutes and basically choked the life out of him. And we all got to see that over and over again, the video that ended up sparking global protests against racial inequality and police brutality, and now has led to, is there going to be police reforms? Is there going to be defunding of police departments across the United States? And in fact, the president is set to unveil proposals for police overhauls and looking at measures that would do something to change what's happening, is what they're saying, is what the White House is saying, in American cities. Is it comprehensive enough? Does it fall short? There will be all kinds of, I'm sure, picking apart of what this ultimately ends up being. And the approach, supposedly, is to seek to leverage the federal grant money to encourage local departments to do something more with training and certification around best practices, what's happening in other departments, and, you know, look at what has worked, hasn't worked, and what's happening across the country. Obviously, there's deep divisions in our nation in the wake of watching again George Floyd having his life choked out of him, and now this push for what is law and order, what's happening in your neck of the woods, in my neck of the woods, and what's going on statewide, what's going on federally. And that's why, again, the president comes up with what he says will restore law and order. Others are saying that they doubt it. They think it's going to come short of that, and that just funding and training is not going to be enough. And then, of course, we have Seattle, where several blocks in Seattle, I know there's people listening to us in Spokane and Seattle and all over Washington, several city blocks in Seattle have been taken up by protesters. They sealed off the streets, and even local police abandoned a precinct. And some people are taking swings at them for that. Others are applauding them. The president blasted the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkan, and Washington Governor Jay Inslee for, you know, and threatening federal action if they didn't do their job. The governor has called out troops, National Guard, that kind of stuff. But so far, what's happening from Seattle now that we know of, at least in the last handful of days, it has been peaceful, but the streets are blocked off. The people are walking in the streets and eating and all of that, but the precinct is absolutely closed and the streets are absolutely shut off, you know, shut off to police, which happened after the Floyd thing and prompted other cities to look at what they were doing and envisioning what that future would look like. And again, it's that push over defunding, reinventing, what is it going to be? In fact, the National Fraternal Order of Police said they reviewed a draft of the president's executive action, and they said that it strikes a great balance between the need for public and officer safety and the equal vital need for lasting, meaningful, and enforceable police reform. And I think that's the key. I've talked about it on this show. I am not a fan of defunding the police. I get the outcry, the things that we have seen, seeing the video and the body cam of Rashard Brooks and the fact that he had too much to drink. He was in a Wendy's line. He fell asleep. Somebody called because they wanted to get their burger. They wanted to get around him. He was blocking the line. And then they come, they knock on the window. It seems like it's fine. He grabs, again, the taser, runs away, and ends up dead. And this, weeks after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, the outcry for charges in her case, wow, never ends, friends, never, never ends. And where will it end with police versus the people versus what the feds want versus what the states want? Hang with us.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking
packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
I took it and I felt good about taking it. I don't know if it had an impact, but it certainly didn't hurt me.
That's the president talking about hydroxychloroquine, which now is under fire as the FDA says, no, this is not something that's going to help with COVID. Speaking of the coronavirus, I have the numbers. So let's head to the numbers. Usually we do that right from the get-go, but because of that heinous shooting and now what has happened in the wake of it with people leaving the Atlanta Police Department, the mayor completely beside herself. And people, frankly, white, black, and others watching it and saying, wow, you got, how's this happen? What's going on here? And then the Wendy's, where he was, being burnt to the ground. Meanwhile, 118,000 people have died in the United States. 627,000 have recovered. Yay. Always good to see the recovery number. Don't want anyone to die. Too late for that. But 118,000 is the official number. It could be more, but that's what we know as of right now, because I call it, sadly, the death odometer. I get it updated, boom, the whole time I'm on the air. Confirmed cases, 2.16 million. By the way, I'm going to throw this in. Deaths worldwide, 428,000. Confirmed cases, well over 7.5 million. I think the big concern is, and we're seeing this now, you know, hurry up and wait. What's going to happen? Is anyone testing positive that have been to these events, etc.? And we've seen that that's starting to happen. And one of the big things that broke is because sports is trying to get back on its feet, so to speak. And Ezekiel Elliott and several Cowboys and Texans, the players, tested positive for COVID-19. There was a report that leaked out about that. They were affected by the recent spike, and they tested positive. So Cowboys star running back Zeke Elliott. I mean, this doesn't get any bigger than that for the Dallas Cowboys. And others that have been hit with this. In Texas, the hospitalizations have hit a record high from the past weekend, over 2,200 more. And with the reopening plan, and the plan is still to reopen, restaurants being allowed to increase by 75%, most businesses 50% capacity. That happened a few days ago. They've conducted more than 1.4 million tests. I'm just giving you a little sampling of one state, and because of the Dallas Cowboys, pretty famous, testing positive for it, and some other players. You had the Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who made the decision to transition into phase three of reopening, and he permitted sports venues to expand their capacity from 25% to 50%. Now, I got a hold of an NFL memo last week that they were sending to teams. They talked about safety measures. I don't know that we talked about it very much on the air, just locker room setup, social distancing guidelines, how to do workouts, and they want to return to business as usual, like other businesses. But with that, you're going to have positive tests, is what they're saying. So they're going to see if they can control the spread with the team, with the staff, and then look at what happens with the facilities and opening up, and can they just keep moving forward, because we'll get closer and closer to what could be an NFL season and what is expected to be an NFL season. Other things that have bubbled up, and which, by the way, the governor, much like Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, the governor of Texas, ripped into the 20-somethings for not taking it seriously, not wearing the mask, and that being part of the problem, which goes to what I say and have said from the beginning, and I'm not the only one. We see this all over the place. Look, we're all in this together. And what I think the confusion is with the mask is there's mask shaming, that why are you wearing the mask? You don't have to wear the mask. But by wearing the mask, you're protecting other people. They're not doing it. Many of them aren't doing it. So Abbott ripped into them for that, especially seeing the rise of cases. And Texas isn't the only state. It's happened in Florida. It's happened in Arizona. We've been through this before with chronic health conditions, heart disease, diabetes, all that kind of stuff. You know, you're going to be hospitalized much sooner than somebody else, the way this thing has gone. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have certainly, they've issued papers that completely highlight and show that. But there are people that are seemingly healthy, and then suddenly they're not. You know, I started off this segment where you heard the president, hydroxychloroquine was what he was taking, that he wanted to take it. He said he was taking it. The Food and Drug Administration withdrew the emergency use for the authorization of it to treat coronavirus patients because they're saying the side effects, all of that, too risky, not showing that it was worth it, that it was doing what they thought it would do, worth pitching the horseshoe out there, but it, not nailing it, not close. So just pulling it completely off. And by the way, 27 states, so really 26 others than Texas, reported a 7-day case average higher as of a day ago than their average a week ago. Georgia was in that mix. Arizona, I mentioned that, was in the mix too. And in Beijing, because remember, all of this started in Wuhan, we believe, and in China, what have they done in other cities? Beijing has decided we're testing hundreds of thousands of people for the coronavirus because they want to just stamp out the new eruption that they're seeing. And that's part of the contribution to the death toll, where it's passed 432,000 people. I said that number earlier. And I'm, of course, when you look at this and you look at what's being rebooted, what's being changed, what's opening, not opening. If you watch any kind of tube, which I'm assuming you do, right, you've probably seen the commercials. it shows Vegas. It's really quite clever. It shows Vegas suddenly being lit up again along the strip, and it says open for business. So Vegas opening up with social distancing, with protocols, with not as many people, but a lot of people going back to Vegas. And see, then it goes to the mask thing, then it goes to social distancing, because it really has worked in many cases. Here's a bright spot, and it goes back to sports. The PGA Open for Business did their first tournament, Charles Schwab Invitational, in Fort Worth, Texas. We had somebody on who was one of those rare people who got to cover it because his name, Art Strickland, because they weren't issuing very many credentials to people, to radio, newspaper, whoever, just a handful. And the players did certain protocols, things that they had to try to do to keep themselves safe. And nobody, and every day they were testing people, nobody tested positive so far. Nobody tested positive at all from that entire event. That could be good news. Of course, there was no gallery, so no people were around for it. NASCAR had an event where they allowed some people in the stands, very scant, and that seemed to work okay. That may be more of what we see in the beginning, because it's those bigger events that are so worrisome, which has also started the outcry about Tulsa, the president doing the rallies again, because, of course, he's running for re-election, and the rallies are where he shines, and people come out and see him, and he creates the excitement. He knows that. He's talked about it, and clearly we all saw that. But Tulsa, many people in Tulsa who are embracing it are also, there are others who are saying, oh, this is the wrong time and wrong place for this rally. We're still dealing with challenges from the pandemic. And even though we have authorized reopening, a mass indoor gathering of people pressed closely together and cheering is maybe not a good idea. Because remember, again, there is no treatment. This is what they're saying in Tulsa. Some people. There is no treatment for COVID-19, no vaccine. So whatever the effect is what you have to deal with in the aftermath, whatever that looks like. And it goes to the big question mark hanging all over our heads. We really just don't know, right? We don't know. Will it have any effect or not? This is a city that's very supportive, and they want to come out and support him, but will they pay the price? And some in Tulsa are saying it's just not worth it. You had thoughts on that and some other things as well related to COVID and police.
Sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value free by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus. A 30 count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. 2020safe.net.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Jesse Edwards. NYPD Commissioner DeMont Shea spoke at a press briefing announcing the closing of the city's anti-crime unit.
These are the plainclothes units that operate our traditional anti-crime. Effective immediately, we will be transitioning those units, roughly 600 people citywide. This is a seismic shift in the culture of how the NYPD polices this great city. It will be felt immediately in the communities that we protect. We can do it with brains. We can do it with guile. We can move away from brute force.
President Trump reacted to the Supreme Court ruling that protects LGBT rights in the workplace.
I've read the decision, and some people were surprised, but they've ruled, and we live with their decision. That's what it's all about. We live with the decision of the Supreme Court.
The vote was 6-3 with Justice Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's first appointee to the court, writing the majority opinion. This is USA Radio News. Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan weighed in on the fatal shooting of Rashard Brooks, calling to empower communities and build trust in the wake of calls for police reform.
I think one of the things we can do is look for a way to create a more uniform definition of the use of deadly force and create more and more clarity. The best opportunity here for us in Georgia is to look for opportunities to continue to build trust. Trust is the only way to navigate through this. Trust across all types of bridges and divides.
As the Seattle mayor continues to do nothing regarding a protest zone, a former GOP governor is speaking out. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg explains.
A member of the Seattle City Council says a rebellion that's taken over a part of downtown Seattle is incredibly inspiring to the vast majority of American people. All of this has former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee wondering where the adults are in Seattle.
The officials who were supposed to stay with a sense of order have allowed this to just degenerate into utter chaos.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mailbag. Let's get in the mailbag.
Yeah, we didn't have to dig very far, although we normally don't have to. So thanks to all of you. What an amazing response we always get. I think a lot of you listen to the show at different times of the day. Woohoo, that's what it's all about, whenever you can get it. So katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. You can share your thoughts there. Like Mikey did from Virginia. Yo, Kate, not cool what happened in Atlanta. I was watching a replay of the day's golf, and I saw the Rashard Brooks reaction, the burning down of the Wendy's, but honestly, what was so insane was the fact that, yes, he was obviously asleep, drunk, whatever, and he was cuffed and was resisting arrest, or they were trying to cuff him after having the conversation, and the next thing you know, the 27-year-old is off like a shot, so to speak, grabs the taser. You can clearly see, because I've seen that body cam stuff before, he was fatally shot. Then he gets shot by this officer and dies. I mean, dies. Dies because he was too drunk to move his freaking car at a Wendy's, and because somebody called. It is an abomination. I'm an ex-cop, and I mean, I know these things happen with reactions, But it just seems like it's piling on more and more, and you just shake your head at this, why that happened. An act in the moment, the taser gun, and, you know, he had fallen asleep, it was clear, and he had been wrestling, and they were trying to handcuff him. So once he took the officer's taser and fired at him, and, you know, that was that. But looking at it, and I look at it from my point of view as a former police officer, and I think of what the alternatives could have been, I would say that it is questionable use of force. I think some of my brothers in law enforcement would say it's not, it's a reaction, and that it was a lawful but awful thing to do, that there could have been an alternative action, but it didn't happen. I just have to say I really feel for that family and the young children and the young wife that this happened, and really I think it was preventable. There has to be some sort of reform, and I get it. As somebody who was out there on the streets, you react in the moment, things can happen. Yes, but there is no excuse for this one. All right, we move on to another one, and it was also about the Rashard Brooks shooting, and this one was from Chad, who says, Kate, you know, I don't think the police officer is going to get charged with anything in this shooting death, but it's a shame that it happened, but I can sort of understand reactions sometimes. And in this case, much different than the George Floyd heinous, really, crime, I think that this was just a terrible error in judgment. But with the family asking, why did he have to die, it just makes your skin crawl, honestly. But looking at the how the reaction could be, I can understand the reaction, even though I think it is absolutely wrong and should not have happened. Yeah, again, he grabbed the stun gun, ran with it, then was shot, and, you know, that's it. And there's a lot of people commenting on, you know, would this be something that would fly in other police departments, and, you know, what does it mean? So, you know, the Atlanta police officer, Garrett Rolfe, was fired. Another was reassigned after that. And this seems like a daily or weekly occurrence anyway, where we're going over the scenarios and was it justified or, you know, not. And just one, it actually happened following the Friday night shooting of Brooks. It was, I want to say it was like a day or so later. One of the officers, like I said, was fired, and another was reassigned. So, wow. And it just happened quickly, right? Just, boom, the violence, the torching of the Wendy's hamburger restaurant, all that. And then Saturday, the police chief, Erica Shields, stepped down in connection with the shooting. And that was it. Said, you know, out, gone. And, of course, you see the mayor reacting a lot to what's happening in Atlanta. Keisha Lance Bottoms, her name is, and she announced the police chief's resignation at a Saturday afternoon conference and called for the firing of the officer who opened fire at Brooks. And she said, I don't believe this was a justified use of deadly force, and I've called for immediate termination of the officer. So the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, because some of you have asked about that, is investigating the shooting, period. All right, we move to this one. This is from Big Mac. I want to say Big Mac could be Mac Attack. I don't know. Maybe this is a different person. But Big Mac says, Kate, so much going on. Wow, to sit in your seat has to be interesting. You look at the decision by the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court saying gay, transgender workers are protected by federal law. No more discrimination. I wonder if that was a surprise to some. The president certainly looked like he was surprised, at a loss for words, but said that the Supreme Court makes the decision, that's it. And it certainly was that. And it's a big win for the LGBTQ folks. And I think for some other people, they are worried about how this will all be meted out when you look at some of the things that will have to change in companies, even when it comes to bathrooms. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of rethinking going on. And, you know, this is a landmark federal civil rights law from the 60s. That's what they're saying. And it was written by one of the court's most conservative judges. So how about that? 6-3 ruling. And they go back to the Civil Rights Act, and that prohibits the discrimination because of sex, and it includes gay and transgender employees. So I think it was a little bit of a surprise, right? A little bit of a surprise. And that wasn't the only thing, because that was so big. I'll throw this in. There was something else that happened on Monday. They turned down a batch of challenges from gun rights groups that want to expand Second Rights Amendments. They, boom, said it, returned it down. They rejected the Trump administration's request to review California's attempt to provide sanctuary to undocumented immigrants. So they didn't even go there. But this ruling is the major decision so far of the Supreme Court term, and it's interesting to look at past laws, how the law is interpreted, right, and, you know, what ultimately that means, because you look at how the bench is split conservative-wise, and it's the text of the law. And, you know, that's what the whole thing is, the text of the law and what was ultimately, you know, set. So how about that? And the American Civil Liberties Union said it's a huge victory for equality, period, for we the people. So people should be excited about that, any American, you know, period. All right, so we move to this one from Sam, who asked this question. Hi, Kate. Is this, of all the time that you've been on the air, the time that you've dealt with so many things, from coronavirus to rioting to peaceful protests to debates over defunding police, reforming the police, to reopening, to questions about people's rights when it comes to liberties, to wear masks, not wear masks? Is this one of the craziest times? If you're saying it, then that's what it sounds like. You're asking if it is for me since I've been doing this. Since I've been doing this my whole life, whether it was on camera, television, or behind this microphone. No, it's not. It's not, surprisingly, because, you know, it's like they say, it's the 24-hour news cycle, whatever. It's that there are massive challenges. In our lifetime, the pandemic certainly was the biggest, because I haven't been through that, although I've told the story of my great-grandmother who died from it, who I don't know much about, actually. So it's kind of interesting. But I went through 9/11 in New York, and I saw what that was like, and it was terrible, of course. And that was terrorism, fear of that, what was happening, so much misinformation, and then correct information, and everything that collapsed after it. So no, I would say it's probably equal to 9/11. That's what I would say. I'd say it's equal to being at WFAN while planes flew into the World Trade Center, and at first people just thinking, oh, it's somebody really screwed up, and this is unbelievable. This is crazy, because this never happens. But, of course, it was much deeper than that. You can always flip me your thoughts, katedelaneyradio.com. The clappers are in the wings. Why? Stick around. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Lena Waithe announced to her family at 7 that she wanted to be a television writer and did everything she could to pursue it, including working in a movie theater and for Blockbuster. As a screenwriter, actress, and producer, she scooped up the Emmy for an episode of Netflix's Master of None in 2017, where she's also part of the cast. She's also the creator of The Shy on Showtime at Boomerang in 20s. Meanwhile, she produced the crime film Queen and Slim in 2019 and has a reoccurring role on the HBO series Westworld and so many more film and television projects. Waithe actively does her part to recruit people of color to work on her projects. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. All right, so she's in the spotlight a lot, Lena Waithe, creating a lot behind the camera, in front of the camera, all that kind of stuff, and good for her, because as I said in that piece, her story, she knew when she was a kid, hey, this is what I'm doing, and she did everything she could to get there, and she did. She had some people that helped her along the way because she was smart and did the things that she needed to do to put herself in those right, in those right spots, and she is a difference maker. There's no question about that with her art, and so young, so just 30s, mid-30s, much more, I think, to come from this American treasure, screenwriter, producer, and actress, no question about it. Hey, speaking of treasures, I saw this story, and I was just blown away by this story. In fact, we're going to reach out to this veteran bus driver, and hopefully have a conversation with her on this show. But Mia House said, you know, she has a job to do, and she was going to do that job. And what job is that? She's been a bus driver for MTA New York City Transit for 11 years. She thought, I'm healthy, it's not going to happen to me. But she got sick with the coronavirus, and she had to, of course, leave work, get healthy, that kind of stuff. She spent weeks and weeks at home recovering, and she said she was so happy to get back to her roots, or routes, both of them. And she's out there doing what frontline workers do, and I know the clappers are excited about it because she's got a family, and she's, yes. And here's what I love. She said, nothing, this just shows you, nothing is going to stop me from being who I am, who I need to be, helping the community. Because she said, people need these buses. They got to get to where they're going. They need it. And MTA has lost 130 employees to COVID-19. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to deal with on a day-to-day basis. People still get on the bus with no mask. And she's got screens and all of that, but you know, there's always that uncertainty. So she comes in to her house through the garage. She goes straight to the wash. She doesn't do anything. She takes a shower first, all of that before she even sees her family. So she's taking all the precautions. But, wow, what a difference maker, because they're losing so many people, and they need drivers. She's done it, and she feels like she's providing a service that people need, and she is. In fact, one thing that is being said with reopenings, especially in these big cities, that people need to take mass transit, because if they don't take mass transit and they avoid it, you're going to have what some are calling gridlock like you've never seen before in your life, especially in New York. Unprecedented levels, because they were previously people who rode mass transit. So if it's 30, think about it, if it's 30% higher, traffic would just be at a standstill. I mean, that would triple your, whatever your commute is. If it's a two-hour commute, it would be a 4 to 6 hour commute. Oh. And somebody who's been stuck in that traffic flying into that city, ooh, wow. Subway ridership down 80% compared to last year. People are afraid. They're, you know, even with social distancing, and they are really cleaning the subways and the trains like you wouldn't believe, but still, there is the concern over, you know, over getting on a train. And what about people who don't wear any kind of covering, and what are they touching and all of that? So you can understand why some people would want to take an alternative to the bus, to the subway, but you can also see how awful it would be if that happened, you know, across the board. Yeah, terrible. I found the greatest story today. In fact, I called this little town, and this is somebody else that we'll try to get on the show, but I think everybody else is in the world is trying to get this mayor on. And while we've seen so many mayors talk about, you know, talking about what's happening in their worlds that are falling apart, or because of buildings being in the last couple of weeks, etc., you have this one mayor who is in a much different situation, where he's saying, or the way they're looking at it anyway, is, what if we could print our own money? You know, we've talked about Bitcoin on this show before. We had Steve Forbes on, and I know you heard that a couple of times, where he talked about Bitcoin was ridiculous. That wasn't the part of it that was going to work. It wasn't going to be about that. It was going to be about the chain. The supply chain would be so secure. But this small town in Washington is printing its own currency during the pandemic. And the mayor of Tenino, Washington, the population there less than 2,000, decided, okay, people can't afford groceries. There's long lines outside the local food banks. The downtown is abandoned. How do we bring back the economy? So we're kind of talking about these grants for businesses, microloans. We line up a couple of banks. But how do we directly help families and individuals? And he said, Why not start their own currency? Just hit them. So he decided they would set aside $10,000 to give out to low-income people hurt by the pandemic. But instead of using federal dollars, they'd print money on thin sheets of wood designed for use just there. And how about that? And you know how they minted it? A 30-year-old newspaper printer from a local museum. So they go in the museum, this is where, how we're going to print it. What an incredible idea. Mayor Wayne Fournier came up with that idea. And this is a guy who was a firefighter since 18 years old. And he does things a lot differently. So he won a spot on the city council. Then he became the mayor. And he says the community is on the upswing and he wants to continue going in that direction. They've had 150 new ag jobs open up. And these locally owned businesses are on small margins, but they can't, so they can't weather a lockdown. So let's figure out what we can do instead. So the idea was to make the currency, and you should see the currency. It's so cool. And the people are doing it. There's only a few restrictions. You can't use the money to buy cigarettes, lottery tickets, or alcohol. But essentials, food, gas, daycare, and pretty much every business in the town accepts the wooden notes. And then twice a month, they can submit redemption requests to the city to turn the notes into cash. So the local currency, the money stays in the city. That means it doesn't go out to, like, Amazon. Brilliant, if you think about it. Especially for people that economically are on the lower end of things and what that can do for the economy right there. And wood currency, by the way, goes back a long way in that area because they were known, the city is known for its lumber business, and it's known from a long time ago for wooden currency. So it kind of also keeps that legacy alive. I love it. I think it's brilliant. I just chuckled when I saw that, like, oh, yeah, that's it. It's small enough that it works. Small enough that can work there. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. All right, before we leave you, a couple of things. The Dow, we look at money. It is the ultimate craps table, right? The stocks rebounded. And so markets swing back and forth with COVID-19. But the Dow was up. It climbed 157.62 points, so closed much higher. Tumbled initially after the opening bell and then rose. That's how it is. It's like a roller coaster. We'll see where we are by the end of the week. We're out of time, though, for this hour. Thanks for listening. And remember, we're all in this together. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.